quite frankly, I mean, I'm looking at a dead person.
Paramedics had brought Connie to the emergency room about 2 hours earlier. There, doctors discovered that she had suffered a pulmonary embolism, a blood clot that hit her lung. The trauma from that clot left Connie without blood pressure or pulse, causing her to code.
Code is just a term that we use to try to bring someone back, to try to revive them.
All right, we're back in now.
Somebody called the code?
Yes, it's been called.
Got a part on its way?
Mm-hmm. X-ray's on the way and the lab.
They got her to the emergency room. They have to institute a CPR, and for 2 hours they continued that CPR. We had a heart doctor, a lung doctor, and different doctors come in and different people doing the code as we went along. But basically, we never were able to get back a blood pressure, pulse, or any objective evidence that she was breathing or alive.
That's when intensive care nurse joins the call to bring one of the strongest blood pressure medicines to the ER, a medicine of last resort.
They'd not been able to get any pulses, not any significant pulses, nor had they gotten any blood pressures. And she wasn't responding to any of the medicines.
Oh, I think Connie had the best medical care that you could possibly get, and we went to extreme measures on everything.
Their last official step, in medical terms, was to call the code, or call the time of death.
If she was clinically dead, they had called the code and pronounced her dead.
What hospital officials didn't realize is that on that Sunday morning, Connie's friends, family, and church had begun to storm heaven on her behalf.
I stopped the service and told the church what was going on, and instructed everyone. I said, we're going to take a while and intercede for Connie. And we were interceding that God would spare her life, and praying against death and praying for life.
Meanwhile, the ER doctor came to the waiting room to tell the family the bad news. Still full of faith, Tommy made a request.
Well, I asked him, could we come in and pray, you know, before they call it? And he said, yeah, we can come in and pray.
And I laid my hand on her, and she was cold. And I said, Lord, with long life, you promised to satisfy her. Lord, you said that you would do her good and not evil, that you would give her an expected end, that your will for her is to live and to not die. And when I saw her gripping Tommy's hand, her husband's hand, and mine started shivering like that. I knew life was coming back into her.
Suddenly, Connie was breathing, and her blood pressure was climbing. Doctors and nurses were stunned, including one nurse who had helped with CPR.
She said, Joyce, I've been doing this 28 years, and I've never seen anything like it. She said, after those people prayed, she got a pulse.
All I know is the family went in, and then when they came out, the nurses went back in there, and she was starting to spontaneously breathe. And then they began feeling a blood pressure and a pulse again.
The doctor knew that Connie still faced an uphill battle. Besides all her major organs shutting down, Connie showed no signs of brain activity.
We knew that she was brain dead when she started back, that she was having no spontaneous activity. She was on a ventilator. We were having to be assisted in her ventilation. She had an aspiration pneumonia, which means she aspirated her stomach contents during the CPR. We broke her ribs. Her kidneys went into failure from not enough oxygen. Her GI tract went into bleeding from not enough oxygen. She just had every complication that you could have from a cardiac arrest.
But God wasn't finished working. As the doctors expressed concerns about her complications, family and friends continued to pray intensely, and God began to do other miracles that day.
It was probably 4 o'clock in the afternoon by that time. The respiratory therapist was on the other side of the bed from me, and she said, Joyce, I think she's sticking her tongue out at me. And I said, Donna, she's brain dead. She's not sticking her tongue out at you. About that time, Connie went. I went around to the other side of the bed, and I looked, and I said, are you awake? And she went. I thought, yeah, this just can't be. You know, this is a mistake. But at the time, you know, I mean, when she came over, her body temperature was 89.9 degrees. I mean, she was already headed out when she as far as, you know, her body was starting to cool off. And so I'm just thinking, this can't be, you know, because this kind of stuff doesn't happen. And she's following command. She doesn't have any, she could move her legs, everything. No neurological deficits.
Even more amazing, at 3 o'clock the next morning, just 15 hours after she was to be pronounced dead, Connie wrote this note to her husband, asking him to cancel an appointment. God had done it again. Now, each time Connie would face a medical crisis, Joyce knew exactly where to go.
At every turn, I would go out there because there's this sea of people from Connie's church out in the waiting room. I'd have to, like, wade through them to find Mike and Tommy. Y'all need to be praying. She's bleeding. We can't get the bleeding stopped.
At the end of 30 days, Connie Davis left the hospital. And we'd like you to meet her right now. Yes, that is Connie playing basketball with her son. God has not only raised her from the dead, in his incredible power and mercy, he restored her, body and mind, to perfect health.
She's beautiful, she's vibrant, she's full of life, and so full of the joy of the Lord, and it's just incredible to even contemplate that she was the dead woman I saw laying in the emergency room.
I know that if God can still raise the dead, he can do anything but fail.
There's no way to physiologically explain how someone can go 2 hours in a coma and not get blood supply to the brain like she did into their kidneys and things and come out of it just totally neurologically fine. I've never seen it before. The fact that she came out of that without any damage at all is truly a miracle.
I heard oftentimes that God, you know, did a lot of stuff in the Bible days, back in the days of old. But see, now I know that he's a miracle worker, and he do raise people from the dead because he raised my wife from the dead. And I was there, and I know.
Now by this time, you might be curious, what was going on from Connie's perspective?
Could you hear people praying? Could you hear the things that were around you, the doctors, the nurses?
Right. I didn't hear them say she's dead, but I kept hearing them saying, this looks bad, she's not going to make it. When I heard that, I was thinking, you know, I guess I'm going to die. And so I laid there, you know, and I want to make sure that I'm right with the Lord. So I said the sinner's prayer. I said to the Lord, I said, Father, if you really don't need me, I really would like to raise my son.
And at several points, Connie began to describe watching the doctors treat her from outside her body. Could this have been an out-of-body experience? Connie says she's not sure.
I just knew I saw myself shaking real hard back and forth. How that happened, I don't know. And foam was coming out my mouth. And I wanted to make sure, you know, that happened. I just wasn't thinking of it or dreaming about it. And I asked my husband when I got out of the hospital, was I doing that? And he said, yeah, you did it quite a bit.
Of course, no one goes through such an ordeal without it changing their life. For Connie, that means telling others about the amazing grace that saved her.
I try to tell as many people as I can to accept the Lord while they still have breath in their body. And people need to make a choice now for Christ, because you're going to spend eternity somewhere, whether it be in hell or in heaven. You're going to be able to hear, and you're going to have all your personality. So, you know, if anything I can convey to people, you know, accept the Lord today.